The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, usually somewhat fascinating. Friday, as we head into the weekend, not being afraid even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. First, how can confessing sin bring glory to God? How can confessions bring honor to the Lord? Well, it does show humility, and it does show honesty, and it does show a general, genuine self-examination. But most of all, it demonstrates that God is righteous. Ooh. Next, the good and the bad, the yes and the no, the up and the down, the blessings and the cursings. That's what's in the book. Both. But there are some ministries that pick one or the other. Turn not to the left or the right. And finally, we review Pastor Ray's most excellent devotion on listening. With so much noise all around us, we need to be wiser than the world. So we need to remember God gave us two ears and one mouth, a natural testimony to divine wisdom. The most amazing thing is being aware of where or the location we need to direct our listening to. The answer may surprise you.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. Right here, right in front of me. Got my Chromebook right here, opened up, right here. david@hemustincrease.org. It's right in front of me if you want to. You can text us, 214-210-8483. We have one of our faithful listeners just send me a joke. I might tell it. It's pretty funny. It's 214-210-8483 on the text. On the phone, 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770, and that's where you talk to Terrific T, and that's terrific. We want you to remember, any topic's open for conversation. So what does that mean? Well, first of all, it's not professional radio, so relax, okay? Take a deep breath. Second, you might have a question. You might have a thought on something that the Lord is working on in your life. You might have a praise report. You might have a prayer request. You might have anything going on. You just want to have other brothers and sisters kind of connecting to it. That is fantastic. That's what we're all about. We're not trying to be your church. We're trying to be your family. Oh, that's good. See, churches should be a family. So let me rephrase that. We're not trying to be the church for you. We're trying to be a family for you. I don't know how to say it. You know what I'm saying. So with that in mind, let's get ready to do a trivia question. Now, I'm going to say this and give you a chance. I'm going to tell you this ahead of time that I've done this one before, and it came back kind of scattered. Do you hear what I said? The answers to these came back scattered. And the reason is because some people mixed this passage up with a different passage. So I'm going to give you kind of another chance. Let's just set this one straight and cement. What does Philippians 4:19 say? Now, I did not say Philippians 4:13. What does Philippians 4:19 say? So you can either quote it, you can either, you know, paraphrase it. That's okay. I don't mind in this particular time. Now, we're not using this for our deep theological studies. You can call in and read it. You can do anything you want. Philippians 4:19. If you know the answer, you can tell us. If you don't, look it up. 972-445-0770. That's the number to call. 214-210-8483. That's the number to text. And then david@hemustincrease.org. That's where you do the email address. In the meantime, don't forget the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, now I know there was an Amber Alert on the phones, everybody, so just be aware of that. My phone gets them too. So just be aware of that. And anytime you see an Amber Alert, you should just pray real quickly. Just, oh Lord, help that situation the best you can. Philippians 4:19. It's a very important passage for you and I. You can quote it, text it, paraphrase it, whatever. Reach out to us, 972-445-0770, or text in 214-210-8483. I'm going to go on with my teaching, and then we'll get back to it. Did we cover everything else? Everything else good, solid? Okay? All right. Okay. Confess to the glory of God. This is out of Joshua chapter 7, verse 19. In fact, we just talked recently about Achan, and so we're going to do it again. So Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and make a confession to him." Oh, this poor guy. I feel for him because he kind of got pulled out, but, you know, it is what happened. First and foremost, we should understand, or I think we need to understand, that there is a certain aspect to giving God honor and glory in our confession. And most people would initially think of that and think, that just sounds so weird. How can confessing sinfulness, how can confessing sin be something that brings God some kind of glory and honor? And it's a fair question. Here's a fair answer. When we confess our sins, it shows humility. Something that Jesus demonstrated, if you want to look at Philippians chapter 2 and really get into the nitty-gritty, especially between verses 5 and 9, Jesus became one of us. He put himself in a place where he reduced himself so much, he took on being a man. And in doing that, he took on an enormous amount of humility. And humility is one of the key factors that Jesus demonstrates through his life. Remember, Jesus could have called leagues and thousands and myriads of angels to deliver him at any point. But he did that never and just surrendered and humbled himself before all. This humility is demonstrated when you read James and Peter. You understand in James and Peter both say the kind of the same thing, that God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God likes people humble. Don't ask God to humble you. Humble yourself. If you ask God to humble you, he'll do it. Okay, it's a little bit of a jest. But the idea behind that is you can humble yourself. There's something that you have that ability to kind of, withdraw from being first in line kind of attitude, okay? So that's a good thing about confession. Another good thing, it shows honesty if it's real and it's genuine. And another thing is it just say that some people are doing real genuine self-examination, which is very important to be able to evaluate yourself. I come before the Lord in my prayer time, and I do this because I know Star Trek, so you can't get mad about that or anything like that. But in Star Trek, when another ship would come across another ship, they would scan them. And so they would see a little light go through, and it scans all the people and all the stuff and all their information. I ask the Lord to scan me. And I say that in a way where I know he's examining me. He already knows everything about me, but I want to be open before him, and I want him to scan me. And if I've got a problem or something, I need his help. But the last thing I want to point is this particular thing. When you confess, not only do you show humility and honesty and an earnestness and self-examination, but you acknowledge something else that's far greater than that. You acknowledge when you confess that God is righteous. And that is what Joshua was talking about to Achan. He said, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel. Make a confession to him." By confessing, because it acknowledges the righteousness of God when you own what is not righteousness. The difference between King David and King Saul, there's many nuances there, but the glaring difference is that when Saul was confronted with sin, he tried to justify it. When David was confronted with sin, he owned it. And God is not looking for people to try and say, I'm really right about this, God. I'm really self-justified about this. God is looking for people to own it. He's looking for us to do it in such a way that he is honored. That doesn't mean that you think of yourself as a slug or as a worm or anything. It means that you think highly of God because his righteousness is perfect. So sometimes when you share, when you confess, and I've noticed that this is true, and I've even been reading this in some of the materials I've been going through, sometimes when somebody's mentoring somebody or a leader or a pastor gets up and preaches, it's good to hear the pastor go, yeah, I'm not doing this very good. In fact, a really great minister of God wrote a book saying, don't trust a leader who doesn't limp. That's a lot of wisdom there, right? And even the greatest guys, greatest gals, when they go, yeah, I'm not doing that great there. You have this immediate identity and connection with them and an affinity, and it's great because it's honest, it's earnest, and it acknowledges that God is fully right and righteous. Okay? All right. The scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that good that God supplies those needs according to his riches and not according to how smooth you and I are? Yeah, that's good to know. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Bibles are very cool looking. You can have them electronically. You can have them in your phone. You have them in your computer. There's tons of apps. There's also cool looking book Bibles. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. It's great. Here's the bottom line. All that's fancy and fantastic and useless if you don't read it and believe it and process it. For those that are trying to figure out, first of all, well, why is it that the Bible is its own unique entity? I mean, what's the deal in that? Well, the same breath that went into creating Adam, which was creating creation of man, that same breath went into the Bible. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. That's the breath of God. And the breath of God that went into Adam is the breath of God that goes into the book, which is why this is a unique book. And then people get really upset and they go, well, hold on now. Hold on now, Dave. The problem there is, you know, that there's just so many people that have been a part of writing the Bible. In fact, there's about 40 authors spanning about 3,000 years in all different types of positions in life. But here's the great thing about Christian faith. If you believe that God created the universe, you're going to step out on that big ledge and go, well, if he created the universe, he can probably write a book. Well, the amazing part about the book itself is not just the self-proclamations of the book, but you get into the prophecies, and it's an amazing, amazing element that every single prophecy has been fulfilled exactly, and yet there are some to come, and we will see those fulfilled. But while you're engaging in the Word of God, here's something you need to be aware of that Christians do not recognize. That word where it says, for the Word of God is alive, is zone in the Greek. If we were doing a Greek word, that'd be zone. And that word means alive, to live. Jesus used that word in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, where he says, behold, I am alive, and I live forevermore. Same word. And the word of God is alive. And you think, well, this is just a book. It is just a book, except for when you're reading the word of God and the Holy Spirit connects you to the word of God, it becomes something altogether different. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where I think for the first time in 2.5 years, I'm pretty sure this is the first time I've actually, I've spilled my tea before, okay? But I've never spilled it over everything. So while we were in the break, I flipped my hand over to get a marker and hit my tea. And it's a little wet in here, but that's all right. Okay. See, we're just all waiting for the trumpet to blow, man. That's all we're doing. Please, oh Lord, come. Here's our next trivia question. What is the name of the man who made a snake, a bronze snake? Some people say a metal snake, but let's just say a bronze snake, and put it on a pole. Who made a snake and put it on a pole? A metal snake. What was that guy's name? If you think you know the answer, you can call us at 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. So I have a joke, but it is dripping with tea. That's pretty funny, isn't it? So I'm going to do my best to read it as some of the stuff is slowly coming off of the paper. That's okay. So just hang in there with me, all right? So this is a short joke, not difficult, not hard. So T, get ready for the buzzer. Let me know if it's good, bad, or indifferent. It's actually two jokes, okay? All right. Adam had spent all day in the garden naming many different creatures, but he was beginning to notice he was lonely for human companionship. He shared his loneliness with the last creature he had named, the frog. Adam asked the frog if it had any ideas on how to solve his loneliness. To Adam's surprise, the frog opened its mouth and said, "Ribbit." See, the rest was history. Pretty good, right? Not bad. Ribbit. Ribbit. I like that. All right, one more because this paper's wet and I'm going to have to throw it out. So now I got to tell a joke. I don't have a choice. The story goes this way. A father was reading Bible stories to his son. In this particular story, he read about the man named Lot who was warned to take his wife and flee out of the city. But the father, before he read further, mentioned that the wife looked back and turned to salt. His son asked, "What happened to the flea?" See, because he took his... Okay. See, I thought that wasn't that bad. All right. This is from one of our listeners, and then we'll move on to something more serious. Public poll in the street. A guy is asked, "Would you offer your seat to a pregnant woman on the bus?" "No, never. Not a pregnant woman, nor to anybody else." "Oh, are you uneducated?" "No, I'm the bus driver." That's pretty good. I like that. All right, that was a good one. Thank you so much. Okay, here's our trivia question. What was the name of the man who made a metal snake and put it on a pole? If you know the answer, you can reach out to us. 972-445-0770 is the call-in. 214-210-8483 is the text. I know many of you do, for the most part, like me, and I think that you understand that I have I try to do a little bit of balancing on some of this stuff. And so I want to bring in a passage and talk about two different groups. Neither one's more evil than the other. It's just that they're both at the extremes. This is from Joshua chapter 8, verse 34. It says, "Afterwards, Joshua read aloud all the words of the law, the blessings, as well as the curses, according to all that is written in the book of the law." So we got somebody calling in, and we're going to take their call if they can answer the trivia for us, and that's not a problem. But I want you to understand what we're about to talk about. We're about to talk about the law, and we're about to talk about the up and the down, the in and the out, the yes and the no, the good and the bad, the blessing and the cursing. And we want to talk about that in terms of people having let's say, groups or understanding that groups take a position and then they just stick with it. So do we need to know anything about that? Okay. Here's what I want you to be aware of. There are ministries that teach only one of these principles, the blessings and the cursings. Now, don't lie. Don't try and cover it. There are some churches that only teach the cursings. Like that God is a taskmaster who's up there with a whip and or a shotgun, and he's up there and he's like, "You keep doing everything wrong, and I'm so mad at you. I don't like you." And that's how they present God. Okay, it's a little strange to think that way, but every time, and we tend to describe some of these people under the fire and brimstone category to some degree. Not everybody teaches fire and brimstone is wrong. Don't get that impression. But every message cannot be about hell, since Jesus did not make every one of his messages about hell. I'm just pointing that out. Again. Change what the fact is. Then there's something on the other side of that coin, along more lines of name it and claim it, where God, instead of being this guy with a whip and a shotgun, he's got a lamp, and he's like, "Ask me anything you want. Rub this lamp, and I'll give it to you." It's like, instead of God, he's a genie, or he's Santa Claus, or whatever. And so it's like they go to that extreme, and it's kind of like either, everything is super positive, and anything negative just got to be out of my life. And, you know, it's that same book that was out for a while, the clutter book. Oh, declutter your life. And then they had a cartoon on that one time, and the person decluttered everything, including their husband and their kids and everything, and then all they could hear was their echo. In the house. The point of that is there's extremism in these things. You don't want to be a church that just teaches greasy grace, and you don't want to be a church that just teaches Bible bullets. In fact, you don't want to be a church that or a group or a fellowship that teaches any of that. Okay? Grace should not be greasy, and the Bible is not a gun for people to shoot. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying by that? In other words, God is compassionate and merciful. But he's holy. Now, in his mercy, he has determined and allowed mercy to triumph over his holiness in the judgment capacity by allowing us to opt in to the redemption process. But he wasn't required to do that. There wasn't something that forced him to do that. That's who he is. And what happens is people get a hold of something about God and they just stay on the one thing. And it's like, how would you like it if somebody identified one mark or characteristic of yours and that's all they thought of you as? Wouldn't that be insulting? Right? I mean, it would be almost like, it would almost be degrading to you to have you boxed in that way. Somebody would describe you only in those terms, only think of you, whether it's positive or negative in that sense, it's just only, it's the one thing. Oh, she always has, this going. She always has, a pen, or she always has this, or the other person always has a squirt gun, or whatever it is, just by knowing the one item. Well, God's not like that. You can't identify, you can't put him in a box like that. There are blessings and there are cursings. There are ways to appropriate that. Are the cursings the same now as they were then? No, that's why we have a new covenant. We couldn't even keep the law before, so God had to actually, in the new covenant, run both sides of the program just for us to get in. So it is different. Of course it's different. That's why there's an old covenant and a new covenant. If there was no difference, they wouldn't be called the new covenant by Jesus, right? But the point I'm trying to make is not to swing too far to the right or too far to the left. And the reason is because when you get into those things, it's like going to a picture or a picture and focusing on one spot, but you're not seeing the picture. There's a picture there. And think of it in this terms, and this might really help you. God doesn't just work on one thing in your life. He works on like 50 trillion, right? So recognize God as being that in that balance and be that way yourself. Don't be that kind of person that swings to the extremes. This is part of the problem. I'll say it and get in trouble for it later. This is part of the problem when the church moves from kingdom proclamation to human proclamation in politics, be it to the left or to the right. doesn't really matter. It's usually about the agency of mankind deeming that they are righteous or more righteous than God, and their way is the way everybody should follow. And all of that's being done by sinful people. It's wrong. It's just not right. What's right is God's way. What's right is to follow his track, his direction. And what's right is to understand the whole counsel of God. Blessings and cursings are in the book for a reason. If you rebel against God, triumphantly, defiantly, sticking your fist in his face, you can count on that ain't going to go great. And consequently, by the way, when you do something that's really awesome before the Lord and it's really selfless, you can count on the Lord notching that reward for you, though you may not receive it until heaven. That's just a reality check. Here's what you can absolutely know for sure. Not everything is so evil or so good that we walk through. What we walk through is a relationship with God. And most people will acknowledge in relationships, there's just a lot of learning and a lot of loving and a lot of caring going on. So let's go with some of that. All right. So our trivia question, what was our trivia question? Oh, the guy in the pole. All right. What was the name of the man who made a metal snake and put it on a pole? Typically, they think that was a bronze snake. Do you have any idea who this is? Do you have any quotes? No? All right. It's our favorite boy, Mo. Mo. Yeah, that's it. Call them Mo, right? We even have a sound clip for that. We'll play that other way when we come back. It's Mo. We love Mo. Moses put the bronze snake on there, and when people looked at the snake, what happened? They got healed, leading people already to know that you got to have your vision in the right place to receive from the Lord, right? Okay, cool. All right, we're going to take our break and come back. I got a Pastor Ray thing coming up. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
But Jameer, are you there with us?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think you have an answer on how many days between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension?
Is it 40 days?
That is correct, sir. You are a winner. Very nice. Did you have to look it up, Jameer, or did you know?
The funny thing is, I was reading this book, The Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren, and then it was just talking about how God, like, transforms a lot of people's lives in 40 days, you know, and that happened to be one of the things that he was speaking about. So that was funny. I had just read that today, too.
Wow, great timing.
It taught me something. It taught me something, too. So it's funny how you just spoke about it on the radio show, so I just had to call in, man. I always listen, so.
So the trivia question actually had a meaning for you.
It did. And now that just pushes me to, like, be more into also my Bible, because if I was, like, I should have known that, you know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, that taught me something. I thank you for at least having that question, because there's a lot of people who didn't know that, you know, so you're still teaching a lot of people. So thank you.
The David Spoon Experience on 770 KAAM. On Christ the
solid rock, I stand. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Before we do anything else, I think T has got the play on our Mo. We have a Mo sound. You just don't know it yet. Let's see. Is it there?
Hey Mo, hey Mo.
Hey Mo, hey Mo.
Well, yuck, 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 yuck.
Yuck, 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 yuck.
What is he?
If you're not laughing now, there's something wrong with you. That's all I got. Check your pulse. Anyway, nice job there. We'll do our trivia. Before we do the, I'll do the trivia and then I'll say the other thing. All right, our trivia question: what did the angels do to the men who were trying to have sex with the angels and with Lot? What did the angels do to those people that were trying to do this? This was in Genesis 19. The angels did something to the men. What did they do? They did something. They took an action. What was that? Kirk nailing it right off the bat. Nice job, Kirk. All right. I do want to make a comment, just a finish-up comment before we get to the next teacher, before we get to the history. Good job, Joy. Here's and Cordy, here's the thing I want you to be aware of. In that last teaching, I know some people are like, you know, Dave, you talk about that, about left and right and about the extremes and so on and so forth. I want to give you a living example that just happened to me this morning, and I'm hoping that this will make it more clear what I'm trying to talk about. So I'm doing this brief study in 1 Peter. Just the Lord just, I don't know what happened, just like opened it up, and it's just like, wow, look at this. Wow, look at this. And I came across one particular part, and it's amazing because you can find one word and then go into the commentaries, and I have like 1,800 books in my digital library and probably another 1,000 in my house. And you go into the commentaries, and it's like you can't believe the controversy over a word. This is what's so funny. But the things that I love the most are the scholars that go, this is one theory, this is another theory, it's probably both. And what they do when they do that is they're saying, in some sense of humility, this can be applicable in a couple of different ways. Wisdom would say, be aware of that and use applicability as it unfolds. And that's big part of what I talk about. And so that's why I say I don't want you to go too far left or too far right. I want you to be in the middle. I want you to stand firm before the Lord. 24 times. This is not supposed to go between the left or right or right and left. I want you to stand in the middle with the Lord, be a top center person, and be aware that any extreme in any biblical doctrine is not healthy. There's a balance, which is why Jesus taught a balance. Okay? All right. We got somebody ready to answer the question. Here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Paul.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are y'all?
Excellent. Absolutely excellent. Glad to have you on the phone. All right, so this is a kind of a straightforward. The angels were not too happy with the press-in that was taking upon them, plus on Lot. And what the angels did something to the men that were trying to do this. What is it that the angels did?
I do believe they blinded them.
That is correct! You are right! They struck them with blindness. Genesis 19, 9 through 11, and there's no way to end the threat easier than just go, yeah, you can't see now, huh? Okay, that'll solve that, right? And then they're all groping around going, I don't get it. It's like,
yeah, they still, and I do believe they still tried to find their way to them.
Yeah, that's right, but it wasn't going to work, and they were able to make their do. Now, just think, because this is, even that, in a sense, could have been seen as merciful, because the Lord could have just annihilated them and turned them into dust. At least he gave them a shot at repentance by blinding them first, but that didn't last, and that the city went bye-bye. So that didn't go off very good for them. Excellent job. Very, very good, and I'm really glad that you called in.
Yes, sir. No problem. Y'all have a great day.
All right, you too. God bless.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Right. Got that rolling. All right. Now I have this one more piece of paper. That's our history. This also is a very wet piece of paper because I spilled my tea. That's right, I spilled tea. At least it wasn't Crystal Light, like my other fill-in that I talk about. All right, let's go ahead and do the history sound.
Let's go live.
All right. There's a couple of classic ones here. I'm going to say this. A lot of people won't agree with me, but I am a big fan here. It is Comic Sans Font Day. So Comic Sans Font is the one that's like, it's the one that looks like cartoonish. I just love it. All right. And it's not very good. And I did it once for a scholarly report and got in a lot of trouble. So you don't do that. It's Freedom from Fear of Speaking Day. That is, in fact, the number one fear in the United States is speaking in front of a crowd, not death, because many people believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later he rose again, that he manifested himself and then to others, witnesses, and then he ascended, and then he's returning again, and so the fear of death has been reduced and is not number one on the list. Good to know. The other thing is it's Made in the USA Day today. This usually takes place on a Friday before a July 4th holiday. That's why that's taking place. This one I thought was just hilarious. Guess what day it is? I forgot. No, it's I Forgot Day. See how funny that is? Don't you realize how funny that is? What is it? I forgot. That's what day it is. Good job. That's Steve Martin's most classic joke ever when he says, why didn't you pay taxes for the last 20 years? He says, I forgot. Don't tell me that's not funny. Okay. Boy, I probably shouldn't do this one. All right. 1962 on this day, the first Walmart store officially opened for business. In 1992 on this day, the 1 millionth Corvette rolled off the assembly line. It was originally introduced, by the way, in 1953. And then finally, July 2nd, 2021, the year is halfway over officially today. Aha! There you go. Halfway over. That's, if you were looking for it to be all the way over, you got another half to go. Okay. All right. Let's get into the text. This is our good friend, Pastor Ray. We love Pastor Ray. Good friend. Great author, just very encouraging kind of guy. Here's his devotional, which I'm going to read from. You always get that information on our website, hemustincrease.org, if you want the book. We don't make any money from it or anything like that. Just something to be a blessing for Ray, since he's been a blessing for everybody else. It's called We Just Need to Listen. The men were sent off and went down to Antioch, where they gathered the church together and delivered the letter. The people read it and were glad for its encouraging message. Acts 15:30-31. Okay, I think we have somebody calling in, but we're going to go through this portion first. One of the greatest challenges believers face is how to determine the will of God. How do we know what God is saying? How does he communicate? We know that he speaks through his word, but we also know that he speaks through people. In Acts 15, we find the church in the middle of a huge argument over circumcision and the bigger issue, law versus liberty. How did they handle this dispute? First, they came together to consider the matter. Then they gave everyone a chance to express their opinion. Peter reported how the Holy Spirit was saving the Gentiles by faith alone. Paul and Barnabas confirmed this. James summed up everything so rationally and with such great wisdom and insight that it pleased all the apostles and elders with the whole church. They wrote a letter with their conclusions and sent it off to the believers who needed some answers. Such a huge issue needed prayer, discernment, wisdom, and discussion. Determining the will of God and setting a satisfying policy can prevent division in the church. But God did not write the answer in the sky or even speak to them through a vision or signs or wonders. He used people. Oh, I just love that. People who were willing to speak honestly, listen, be open to the Holy Spirit, and come to an agreement. It required a certain amount of compromise, not in God's principles, but in giving up stubborn views that were rooted more in tradition and culture than in the Lord. The legalistic Jewish people finally agreed that circumcision was not a requirement for salvation, and the Gentiles accepted some dietary changes. Unity in the church was preserved. You never know how God will use people to speak to you. We expect it from pastors and preachers, prophets and apostles, but every day God puts people in our path who in some way might remind us of his love. They might also confront us with truth or even stretched out preconceived ideas that we have or just nudge us to do his will. We just need to be listening. What a just a great, stellar, fantastic devotion. I'm telling you, I know that Ray doesn't think this because he does a lot more on the eschatological end, but his devotional stuff for me is just, I just love Pastor Ray's devotional stuff. And here's why. Here's the reason why that is. What he's saying is that we need one another. What is being said is that Jesus also said we need one another. Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, by your love one for another. The church gathered together and they were unified. Then what happened? The Holy Spirit came and boom, things started happening in the kingdom of God. Here is my point to you. Listening involves obviously being connected to the Word, connected to God in prayer, connected in some form of quietness before the Lord. But it also involves people. And sometimes God will use the weirdest people to communicate the most unique messages, but it's still the Lord. So what I would encourage you to do is be more open to the Lord using people in your life to share what his heart is on an issue or on a matter. You'll have discernment. You have the Word. You have all that stuff. Bottom line, stand firm and listen. Two ears, one mouth. We'll break here and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Here we go. Let me give you an update on Easton Scott. A lot of tough stuff that my daughter and my son-in-law have been going through. I did send an email out. I don't know if, Julie, if you got the email
or not.
I did send it out to everybody. So he was going through 20 and 30 seizures per episode, and they've got that down to a dramatically less amount. But the sad news is that from a medical point of view, Easton does not appear, as according to the doctors, that he will be able to speak or will be able to care for himself. Oh. And so what the result of that is that Julianne and Jared, my son-in-law and my daughter, have recognized that God has put them in a position to be the best parents, to love Easton Scott with all that they can and give him the best life that they can. But while that's going on, they're not going to stop believing that something can change. And the doctors even said, this is territory we don't even know.
Right, because this is a problem that not very many people have had. So
very few.
Everybody is different.
Yeah, and they have like 230 total cases in the world that they have records on, which is like, so they're like, we don't know.
Right.
And it's like, so I just want to read this one thing my daughter wrote. It's a fantastic. She wrote this, you know, it's not easy to sit there and write a Facebook post that tells all the things you've been going through. And so I'm not going to read everything, but I'm going to read the last paragraph because I thought that was really significant. She wrote, scientifically, Easton does not have much of a chance. His best case scenario is he may possibly be able to walk and say 3 to 5 words one day. But God can help him. He's not afraid of impossible odds. And if Easton is healed one day, there will be no question as to where it comes from. It will not be because of therapy, and it will not be because of medication or diet. It will be because of God's undeniable healing power. So in the meantime, we choose to raise a hallelujah and trust in God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is faith. Now, the idea that it's going to be simple and everything's going to be great and they're trying to make pie in the sky, that doesn't exist at all. If you read this, and I think Wonder Julie can attest to it, she tells you this is ugly.
Right.
This is not a good situation. It's going to change our lives. He's never going to be able to be unattended. It doesn't look good. And, you know, as a parent, you're heartbroken. They have two other children. They don't want to have any loss in their communication with their kids, but they're going to have to give extra attention. They were going to have a fourth child. They're not sure they're going to do that now. So you got a lot of things in play. But what you can't deny is that I won't take credit, but I'll stand in there as a grandparent and as a parent and say, what a fantastic position of faith that my daughter has grown into. She has made the determination that she will do the best that she can as a human being to give this child the best life she can, and she will not quit hoping. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We're getting ready to give you our last trivia question. For the week. That doesn't mean you can't do your own trivia questions. But if you write your own question, you probably have the answer. All right, that was a joke, folks. Which of these we did this before. I want everybody to know it well. That's why sometimes you'll hear me repeat these, not because I have 3 books on trivia. I can pull them out anytime I want. But sometimes there are certain things you need to know. Which of these did Jesus cure first? Blindness, leprosy, or lameness? Blindness, leprosy, or lameness, according to the Gospel of Matthew. Okay? According to the Gospel of Matthew. Which did Jesus cure first? Blindness, leprosy, or lameness? If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, just like Joyanne and Cordelia did, nailing it down. I knew they'd get that right away. Here is something. So one of our faithful listeners, fantastic caller, Deborah called in. She had a question. I'm not going to be able to answer the whole thing in totality, but I did want to say something. She asked a really good question about Jesus fulfilling the law. And then also, how is that, you know, possible that he could fulfill the law and not one jot or tittle is going to be changed, but then Jesus fulfills the law and then things change. And so it kind of can become like a garbagey kind of scowl because you're like trying to distinguish. It's really important to understand that in the law, there are 3 different divisions. There is the civil law, which is something that we would say is the law amongst us in regards to civility. I don't know what the word is. Civilness. That's it. There is also the ceremonial law, which were all the laws for the purifications and so on. You had to do this and that to be purified. And then there's the moral law. There's 3 separate laws. So I'm just telling you that ahead of time so you can start thinking about it so that when I do give you an answer down the road, you'll be like, you know, because it'll make sense. So there's distinctions in the law. So when Jesus fulfilled the law, it was the ceremonial law that he was fulfilling. And by the way, his ceremonial fulfillment of the law, that doesn't change the moral law in any capacity. But in fact, Jesus intensified the law because it's no longer if you murder, but if you're angry in your heart, you're guilty of murder. So it was even worse. But then Jesus, as the perfect human being, fulfilled what the law was supposed to be. And then that's what enabled the whole new covenant to take place. It's a whole very, very deep answer, but I'm giving Deborah just something to hold on to so that she doesn't go, blah! Okay, so civil law, moral law, and ceremonial law. Very important to understand the distinction, or just like in salvation, you get caught up and you go, I don't get it. We're saved in the past tense, saved in the present tense, saved in the future tense. Well, that's correct. You are justified, past tense, sanctified, current tense, and will be glorified, future tense. So it's important to grasp that. All right, got that. Our question, straightforward. Hey, Eric, good to see you. Which of these did Jesus cure first? Blindness, leprosy, or lameness? You can text in or you can call in. If you call in 972-445-0770, let's do our Greek music for our word. Really glad I spilled my tea on my Bible. I'm just so happy about that. I can't wait to drive home and talk to the Lord about that.
So he can go, you're the idiot who did it. I'm going to be like, thank you.
Here we go. Titus chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. The word soberly, going to surprise you. Soberly is sophronos. Sophronos, almost like the Sopranos with somebody putting something else in there. Sophronos. It's the Sopranos. We're going to watch it. Yeah, that's right. That means to save the mind. The word sazo is save and friend. So sazo, friend, is the save the mind. This word is an adverb signifying acting in a responsible manner, sensibly, prudently, and being in self-control and possession of your intellectual and emotional faculties. That's what it means. So just in case you get mad about it, it doesn't mean, okay, it doesn't mean not a drop, but it does mean not too many drops, okay? That's just how it is. People are going to get mad. It's like, tough. That's what it says. I didn't write it. Okay. There you go. All right, we got that. We got that. We covered everything. Okay, just the questions left. Just remind me to do the question, because if I forget, I'll cry all weekend long. Here's the last thing I wanted to say, and this is a really, really, really important one. John chapter 16, verse 24, a wonderful, wonderful verse. I mean, all the verses are really wonderful, but you know what I'm saying. It says this, "Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." So, and the way I read that, I probably should have read that differently. "Behold, the hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone." That's how I should have said it, because that's what it is, to leave me alone. "And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me." Here's the question I want to ask you. Is everybody gone? Does it seem that way from time to time, that everybody seems gone? Does it ever feel like everybody has left you, that you feel like you're, you know, all alone? I mean, you can only think of Otis Redding's sitting on the dock of the bay, right? Does it feel that way? Well, here's a wonderful truth to hang on to so that you can keep your feelings, not disregard them, but make sure that they don't run the entire train of your life. You're not alone. You're never alone. There is never a time you are alone if you are a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. The Father is there for you anytime you desire to fellowship with him. Hebrews 10, 19 through 22 make that clear, that we have access through the blood of Jesus anytime into the Holy of Holies. The Son is there for you because he made this commitment in Matthew chapter 18, saying in verse 20, "I will never leave you nor forsake you, even to the end of the age." He came and got the title God with us as part of his name. He's never abandoned you. The Holy Spirit is so close to you. The Holy Spirit knows everything you're thinking and doing. That could be scary for some of us, but you need to recognize that he takes residency in you. Between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are never alone. It's not that it doesn't feel that way. It's just that that feeling is not as accurate as God's truth. And that's the key. What they'll say, and I've even had this debate in PhD land, what they'll say is, you know, love has to be the first engine of the train, the first car of the train, because it drives everything. And it's like, that's not correct. Truth has to be the first engine, because truth defines what real love is, and love, by definition of the world, is perverse. Okay? And love, by the definition of the world, is self-involved, self-gratifying, and all of that. That's not love. Love is the definition given by God. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's how much he loved, that he gave sacrificially. That's biblical love. Discipline is biblical love. So it's important for us to understand that
that feelings are legitimate. You don't undervalue feelings, but you don't overvalue them either. You keep them in their place. They're behind love in and of itself, but love is behind truth, because only truth defines what these things really are or really are not. That's why you'll hear us say, hey, cultures change all the time. In fact, kingdoms change all the time, but truth doesn't change. There's no changing in the truth. It doesn't alter. It doesn't flip up. It doesn't go down. And so even though Jesus was saying, you're gonna depart, everyone is going to jam, you're going to all scatter, you know, this is when Peter's going to deny me, this is going to be this, it's going to be ugly, guess what? I'm not alone. If that was true for Jesus, how much more true for you and I through the Holy Spirit who lives in us, Jesus who intercedes for us, and the Father who has elected us and chosen us? Like, okay, that sounds good. Yeah, of course it sounds good. And so when you're feeling that process, and nobody's saying you should deny your feelings, just make sure your feelings don't overwhelm and try to quench the truth. Does that make sense? All right. That makes a little sense. Okay, which of these did Jesus cure first, according to Matthew? And that would be Matthew chapter 8, by the way, verse 2 and 3. And the answer is leprosy. So it should be noted that in Matthew, the first gospel, the first healing Jesus did was leprosy. And he touched the leper against the law. Against the law. Right? Breaking the social norms and the medical advice. And he just did it because the Father said, let's cure this guy. So everybody tells everybody what Jesus would do should probably read something like Matthew 8, 2, and 3, and then find out Jesus does what the Father tells him to do. That's what Jesus did. Okay? All right. You guys are great. Fantastic. I love you. I want you to have a wonderful weekend. Be safe. Not against one drop, but too many drops is not good. You get it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 72.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.